Good morning, everyone, and thanks for joining us here at Lakeside Online this week and also in our building. I want to mention a few things before we talk about the value and importance of honor within our families and between generations as it relates to our study on Proverbs. This week, our prayers are with those who are impacted at Bunn by the workplace shooting. Our prayers are with the many healthcare workers and leaders, quite frankly, around our nation as they deal with kind of this resurgence of the COVID-19. Our prayers are with our leaders as they deal with so much division and unrest and the cries for justice and change within our culture. These are very turbulent times, and our prayers are just being extended out to so many different situations and so many different directions. In your family, we want to pray for you, and make sure you tell us how we can pray for you this week by checking in online. I want to mention something about next week. On July 5th, as you know, in Illinois, we've moved into a new phase of phase four of the COVID-19 protocol, and they're granting greater freedom for folks to do different things. So I want to mention next week, things are going to change a little bit. We have our building open, and we've had it open for many weeks, and we've been doing what we've called pods, and you heard a little bit about those earlier. And we're going to continue offering those, but here's what's going to be happening. We're going to be doing live worship on Sunday morning here at Lakeside. And we have this room set up with about 75 to 100 chairs, and we are inviting people to come in and to worship, and all the chairs are distanced, and it is advisable that you wear a mask when you sing, or if you're interacting with people, you get closer to than 6 foot. There's some different things related to that. But we are also, in addition to that, going to be offering some different pods. We have family pods for those families that have active children and small children, and it's very hard for a child maybe to sit for an hour and listen to adult content. So we have family pods and activity bags, and that's probably a great win for a lot of families still as we wait to start up our children's ministry and nursery in the future. We also have something that we call caution pods because we have a large number of folks here at Lakeside that do have very pressing health concerns, and maybe you're not ready to be in the mix with families and children and a larger group of people or even just the regular flow of everything. So we have caution pods, and we actually have a special entrance you can come into, and you can be in a room, and you can wear your mask the entire time, and you can sit by yourself, you can sit with a few other people, you can sit with your family, you can sit with a larger group if you want. We're trying to accommodate every angle that we can with that. I will mention that starting next week, we're going to be recording at 9 o'clock and going online as we've been doing. And so we're just going to offer the 9 o'clock online experience online. And at 10:30, if you're used to getting in at 10:30 and watching the service, it'll be available on all the platforms. It'll just be the 9 o'clock service. So I wanted to mention a few of those things and encourage you to just take note of that. Now, we have right now an extraordinarily urgent and burdensome responsibility. One that is as old as time itself. How can we pass wisdom and knowledge and understanding and the skill of discernment on from one generation to the next? That is the challenge that's before us. You might wonder why we have a Bible, why we have a book like Proverbs that has thousands of these proverbs and these statements. You might wonder, you know, why has that come together and why do we have our Bibles? It's because our forefathers, for generation after generation, they took it as their responsibility to pass on their faith to future generations. And not just their faith, but the faith to all of us. Passing our faith on to our children is not only the single most important responsibility we have, it's one of the most challenging responsibilities that we have, second to none, in my opinion. When you read Proverbs, understand something. It's not just a book, a collection of wisdom, okay? It's a book that also models, that is itself a kind of case study on how every generation needs to pass the torch from one generation to the next. Maybe you've accepted our challenge here. Maybe you grabbed one of these booklets or you stopped by the church. Maybe you're here and grabbed one. We can mail these out. But we're challenging everybody to journal through the Proverbs, to read a chapter a day for 31 days. You can start anytime in this series. And we've been challenging people to do that. And maybe you've accepted that challenge. But here's the thing that I really want to call our attention to in Proverbs. Look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. This is what the whole book is about. He says, the father says to his son, it's a generational baton being passed from one to the next. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and don't reject your mother's teaching. It's a team effort. For they will be a garland of favor on your head and pendants around your neck. This phrase, listen, my son, may be three of the most significant words that you'll find in all of the book of Proverbs. There are also three of the most oft-repeated words in Proverbs. And these same words, listen, my son, they also echo God's commandment to his son Israel. Do you remember? Hear, O Israel. That phrase is repeated throughout the entire Old Testament. Listen, my son, also implies, listen, my daughters. And it's not just the father's teaching that's in view here. It's also the mother's teaching that's in view here. And so the essence of this commandment of listening, of hearing, the essence of it is honor your father and mother. How do you honor the previous generation? You know, the previous generation, there may be some dishonorable aspects that shouldn't be honored. But by and large, how do you honor a previous generation? How do you honor your father and mother? It's very simple. Listen to them. Hear them out. How do you honor God? Listen to God. Hear God out, okay? The commandment to honor implies two things. It implies that there's a willing speaker. And number two, it implies that there's a willing hearer. The parent cannot be passive in this responsibility, and the child cannot be passive. One must speak and one must listen. Think of a race where you have a runner stretching forth his hand, extending the baton to the next person. But then you have the second runner who must simultaneously reach back in order to receive the baton. The only way our faith and the faith gets passed from one generation is if there's one generation to the next, if there's one generation that is extending something forward while at the same time the next generation is reaching back, listening and hearing, eager to understand, eager to respond to what's being offered forward. Here's our problem. Parents have outsourced their responsibilities of doing this, by and large, to the public schools, to children's youth sports programs, to colleges and universities, to cable television, Netflix, Google, Amazon, Alexa, Siri, the mass media, Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, even the church, that we've delegated out this responsibility. We play very little part in it. We're expecting others to carry our water and to carry that and extend that faith forward to the next generation on our behalf. Well, big surprise. These third parties have handed our children, not the faith, not your faith. They're handing our children a Trojan horse. Your children have been given not the pure, beautiful wisdom of God. They're often handed the foolishness of men and the folly of men. So pick a topic and just think about this for a moment. Can you argue that your children have been taught well to fear God by third parties? They have more of a fear of science than they do a fear of God today. Have your children been taught, as we're talking about this morning, to love and respect and to listen and to humble themselves, to honor you as a father or a mother, to listen? This generation has so little honor for previous generations. It's just the opposite. This generation is sitting in judgment on their parents and grandparents and great-grandparents in so many different respects and regards. Have your children from third parties learned to form godly, supportive, edifying friendships? Many parents aren't even aware of who their children are associating with, much less who the biggest influences are in their life. And they get blindsided and they're surprised at what their children are becoming. How did they, who influenced them to be a certain way or to think a certain way or feel a certain way? We have so little attention that we pay to the friends of the next generation. Have your children been taught how to properly and wisely handle wealth? Without wisdom, future generations are extremely susceptible to just about everything, especially exploitation. They'll clamor to any person or any ideology or any leader offering a hint of financial benefit and security. When we don't manage money well, we are very vulnerable. What about sexuality? Now, here's a big topic that we're going to be unpacking in a few weeks. Have your children been taught properly about gender, that God made us male and female? What about gender roles? That gender roles are God-designed, that they're not just a social construct that we invent? What about God's design of marriage? One man and one woman for a lifetime, his ideal? What about God's desire for husbands and wives to produce godly offspring in a stable, faithful, safe, loving, healthy home? What about that? What about children? You know, often they're taught that it's shameful to want to have a family, that the world can't sustain more than one or two kids at the most. Even then, that children have such a big carbon footprint that maybe you shouldn't even have children. You see, children are taught that sex is only for pleasure, and if sex creates a baby, you can abort the baby. Like, that's the way to resolve that so it doesn't interrupt your life. On and on it goes. How well have other people been teaching your child, your young people in your home about sexuality and all these different matters? Have your children been instilled with a strong sense of personal responsibility to live lives of integrity, to live sacrificially in regards to generosity? Have they been taught the true nature of justice and fairness and truth? Have they been taught how to exercise greater personal discretion, to have self-control, to act and speak wisely and constructively? You go through all these different categories and you realize, wow, others haven't passed on things to this next generation in the way that we hope they would do on our behalf. The most shocking thing we've experienced in 2020 is to realize that while we were off busy in the world, outsourcing responsibilities to strangers, our children have been taught to hate their father and mother often. What was being whispered in the halls of academia, what was being quietly absorbed behind a glowing screen in the other room, as a person, a child was isolated by themselves, all these things are now shouting and screaming at us in the streets, in our homes. The streets are ablaze, our homes are ablaze, not with wisdom, but with folly. And so, surprise, these generations, their faith, it's not our own, it's not the faith that they've been given, it's something else. And Proverbs is all about this topic of what's being handed on, the baton that's being handed on to that next generation. Proverbs chapter 3, you'll see this repeatedly throughout Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. My son, there it is, don't forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commands, for they will bring you many days, a full life, and a well-being. Is that not what you most want for your children? And is that being given to them by others? Is the next generation, are they finding favor with God? Are they finding favor with people? Are they living in high regard before God? If we are not speaking forth our faith, if there is not a baton that we are taking and handing forth, the faith, wisdom, knowledge, understanding. Then the next generation, they have nothing to reach back and to take hold of. And if there's nothing there for them to take hold of, we have no one to blame but ourselves. More often than not, the children and young people reach back hoping to find something of substance and to receive something of substance, and they find that so little is being extended. And when they do reach back, there's others more than happy to give them something else. This is why Proverbs is so powerful. Every pithy proverb is a father's labored, sincere, heartfelt effort to lovingly speak forth wisdom into those he loves, into the next generation. It's a case study. It's an example for us to follow. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 12, this is a great example. This is a father telling his son how to live successfully in life. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, know him, and he'll make your path straight. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. This will be healing for your body and strengthening for your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first produce of your possessions and with the first produce of your entire harvest, excuse me. And then your barns will be completely filled and your vats will overflow with new wine. Who do you trust in your life to teach your children to trust God, if not yourself? You can't abdicate this responsibility. It's your duty to raise godly offspring. You're accountable before God to fulfill this amazing responsibility and to do your part. I want to outline quickly a parent's obligation from one generation to the next as it's laid out in Proverbs. I want to share some things. I want you to think about some things. And probably you'll want to circle back later, go online, download this message, and look up these verses. But I just want you to consider a brief perspective on what it looks like to pass something from one generation on to the next, to honor your children, but then for your children to honor you. What's that look like? And so let me give you a few principles for you to chew on this week. Principle number one, assume your responsibility to do this. Passing your faith on to your children is not child abuse. You hear that? If anything is child abuse, it's letting strangers, it's letting politicians, it's letting partisans, it's letting entertainers, it's letting the godless, the wicked, evildoers, it's letting everyone else indoctrinate your children. See, they call it child abuse if you do it, and they call it something else if they do it. They call it entertainment, they call it education, they call it a number of things. As you journal through Proverbs, here's what I want to challenge you to do. Take a pen and underline every good thing that the father teaches his son. Every good thing that the father wants to instill, mindset, heart values in his son. And I'm saying son, but I also mean daughters, okay? And so I just made a very quick list. I'm going to fly through this. This is just some examples. My son, he says, listen. Do these things. Don't do these other things. Choose to fear the Lord. Accept my words. Store up my commands within you. Keep my commands. Seek wisdom like you're searching for silver or even a precious treasure. Don't forget my teaching. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Honor the Lord with your possessions. Maintain sound wisdom and discretion in life. Don't say these sorts of things. Don't plan to harm people in these ways. Don't accuse. Don't envy. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Don't forget or turn away from the words of my mouth. Guard your heart. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Keep your feet away from evil. Best political advice, by the way, ever given. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. Just keep your feet away from the evil. Like, keep grounded in God, all right? If you're not going to instill this sort of wisdom into your children, who is going to do it? If you're not going to do the heavy lifting, who's going to do that on your behalf? If we don't extend wisdom, can we really complain that the next generation is so void of it? I don't think we can. I really love Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Here's the same refrain again. Listen, sons, to a father's discipline. Pay attention so that you may gain understanding, for I'm giving you good instruction. Don't abandon my teaching. This is so cool. You ready for this? This is a father talking to his son. How does the father have wisdom to instill it into his son? Because his father did the same for him, and his father's father before that, and so on. He says, when I was a son with my father, and when I was tender and precious to my mother, all right? When you're tender and precious to your children, you're a small child. When you get older, you're not so tender and so precious anymore. But anyway, he taught me, and he said, your heart must hold on to my words. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Don't forget or turn away from the words of my mouth. That's a loving father that took the time to mentor a father who became a father. And so it's multiple generations of wisdom being passed down. This reminds me of something that Paul says in the epistles. He says, I received what I passed on to you, right? What I received, I'm going to pass on. And so we have to be baton carriers and extend it and give it to the next generation. But there's an obligation for the son to reach back and grab it as well, and the daughter as well. So assume your responsibility. It's everywhere in Proverbs. Here's a second principle. When you do shepherd your children, shepherd their heart. Don't neglect their heart. The most short-sighted thing we can do is to always focus on behavior and controlling behavior and manipulating behavior. The heart is the wellspring of life. Even Jesus said that it's out of the heart that good comes. It's out of the heart that evil comes. The heart has to be the focus. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 23. My son, pay attention to my words. Listen closely to my sayings. Don't lose sight of them. Where do you keep them? Look, keep them within your heart. Make sure that you're not just getting behavioral conformity. Make sure that you're planting seeds deep within the heart of your child. For they are life to those who find them, and their health to the ones, to a person's whole body. And look at this. Guard your heart above all else. That is the source of life. Behavior is the tail, not the head. Guard your heart. Address the heart. Tend to the heart. You can't ignore what a child loves, what a child values, what a child cherishes, admires, is entertained by, focuses on, what a child gives energy to, what a child laughs at, what they mock maybe what they ridicule. You can't ignore what that heart is doing, and you have to shepherd that heart beneath the behavior. Here's a third principle spelled out in Proverbs. Correct your child with discipline. Correct your child with discipline. The goal of parenting, really the true nature of morality, is to connect the dots for your child of cause and effect, of sowing certain kinds of seeds and reaping certain kinds of results. It's to make a connection between action and results, sowing and reaping, all these different things. The Bible says that God will not be mocked, that a person reaps what they sow. You're not going to be the exception. Your child's not going to be the exception to the rule. They need to know how reality works. A man reaps what he sows. God's not going to be mocked. You might be able to helicopter in and disrupt the consequences of poor choices that your child are making, but you can only do it for so long. God's not going to be mocked. We have to live according to how God created the world and reality to work. With great freedom comes great responsibility. If every choice in life had an immediate, tangible, 100% certain result, we'd all learn very fast. If there was instant karma, so to speak, I'm not being a Buddhist, but if there was instant karma, we would learn very quickly, wouldn't we? And we'd teach other very quickly. But that's not the reality. We have many choices, and many choices don't have an immediate, they have a future. They don't have a certain, they have a less certain consequence. For example, if you don't wear a mask, you could get COVID-19, right? Will you get it immediately? Will you get it certainly, absolutely? Will you get it tangibly? Well, no, you may not get it tangibly. You may get it asymptomatically. You may not even know you have it. You might be transmitting and not even know. The less tangible, certain, immediate, concrete, guaranteed something is, the more apt someone, like a child, for example, is to blow off that thing. If children don't see an immediate, certain, tangible consequence, they may just go ahead and do that thing anyway. And so what are you to do? That's where discipline and correction come into the picture. A couple of verses for you. Proverbs 12:1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. See, the discipline reinforces the knowledge. But one who hates correction is stupid. Oh, there's that word again. We can't say it. Is naive, is misinformed. Anyway. A wise son responds to his father's discipline, but a mocker doesn't listen to rebuke. Proverbs 13:24, the one who will not use the rod hates his son, but the one who loves his son disciplines him diligently. Why do you spank a child? Because you love them. Because that immediate, certain, tangible swat on their rear end is infinitely more tender than letting them run out into the road and get smacked by a car. And a lot of things have to be reinforced with discipline. Physically disciplining, correcting, even rebuking your child. You want to be their friend. You want them to love you. No, sometimes you need to rebuke them. You're the adult. You have the perspective. You have the wisdom. None of that is child abuse. The absence of discipline, the absence of warning and rebuke, that's actually child abuse. If you don't love your child, don't discipline them. That's what the Proverbs perspective is on discipline. It's unlikely that a child will respect God's authority or any authority or even honor you if they don't learn to respect your wisdom, your words, your direction, your discipline. Proverbs 23:13-14. This is an extremely important verse. It really tells us the importance of discipline. Don't withhold discipline from a youth. If you punish him with a rod, he will not die, okay? Like, it's not saying take a baseball bat and beat your child. But, you know, if you discipline them, your child is not so fragile that you're going to damage them and damage your relationship forever if you discipline them, even in a physical way. You got to use wisdom in that and restraint. But I'm just saying, like, they're not going to die, okay? But here's what he says. Punish him with a rod, and you'll even rescue his life from Sheol. Now, that really struck me. Because discipline can potentially spare a child from pain and hardship and heartache and devastatingly tragic things in this life. But when you discipline them, you might additionally also be doing is you might be sparing them from the unthinkable, which is hell itself. Can you think of anything that in a child's mind is more intangible, uncertain, and in the future than the prospect of eternal condemnation or hell? Hell is so ethereal to them, they'll never understand. But with discipline, you can bring them to an awareness. You can put them on a path. You can reinforce choices that will not just produce fruit in this life, but also fruit for eternity, that can change the whole destiny eternally of their life. Discipline cannot be neglected. If you love your child, you're going to reinforce the good, the fear of the Lord in them, the respect for the Lord. They respect you, they'll respect the Lord, they'll respect your God. Here's a fourth principle. Build strong confidence into your children. The whole cornerstone to confidence, you know what it is? It's not teaching your child to just have self-esteem, to just believe in their own self-esteem and their own. That is not the cornerstone of confidence. It might have a part, but it's not the cornerstone of confidence. You know what the cornerstone of confidence is? It's teaching them righteousness. Our confidence is not found within ourselves and our own assessment of our lives and our and all that stuff. It's found in fearing God. Look at Proverbs 14:26. In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children have refuge. This is so awesome. In the fear of the Lord, that's where not only do you have confidence, but you become an epicenter of confidence to everyone around you. This is just as important for the parent to hear as the child. If you have confidence in the righteousness of God, that sets the tone for your whole family, and your children have confidence, and their children's children have confidence, and it becomes a contagious thing. Here's the reality. When a child is presented with a moral dilemma, he first or she first looks within, and his or her heart deceives him or her. And then the child looks to their peers, and they're looking around, and they're saying, what cues can I gather about what I should think or what I should do or what I should be in this world? And not only do they look to their peers, they look to culture, their music, their entertainment, their teachers, cultural things around them. And the child becomes like a reed blowing in the wind. They're just thrown here and there and tossed everywhere about. But when your child fears God, and that's their North Star, and they've got their compass calibrated to a fear of God, that child knows with clarity the choice that he or she should make, the path that he or she should take, the words they should speak, the actions that they must do. Instead of judging for himself or herself from the vast array of choices and what everybody else is doing, your child settles the matter very confidently and very quickly, and they make it their desire to please God. That's how you build confidence. You teach righteousness, and you teach your child to choose righteousness, always first, as a reflex even. Principle number 5, start right now. This is a short one, Proverbs 22:6. Start a youth out on his way, and even when he grows old, he'll not depart from it. You start him out right now. And what path do you start him on? You know the answer to that, a fear of God. Here's principle number 6. This is not an exhaustive list, okay? This is just the tip of the iceberg of advice and wisdom in Proverbs. Here's the 6th principle that I'll end with. Be clever, creative, and clear. Proverbs 23:16. My innermost being will celebrate when your lips say what is right. You might think that your child's not listening when you say what is right. But when you say what is right, there is something deep within them that will resonate. They know that you're right. And they may not tip you off, give any indication. They may not nod. They may not smile. They may not give you a high five. But their innermost being resonates with righteousness. So speak it, and speak it clearly and succinctly and directly. Be clever, all right? Don't be cute, be clever. Like, make it pithy. Proverbs 15:2, look at this. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge attractive, but the mouth of fools just blurts out foolishness. You know, we parrot a lot of really foolish things that sound truth-ish, that we hear out and about. Don't just pass on foolishness. Like, take time to find a clever, clear, pithy way to instill a nugget of truth in your child. That is what the whole book of Proverbs is all about. And so we have to make righteousness more attractive than the world makes sin. That's the challenge. For entertainment, the world mocks righteousness. But in Proverbs, for entertainment, the father mocks foolishness with his son. He pulls his son together with him. He says, hey, look at this. Watch this. Check this out. This is what this person is doing. Here's the choices. Here's what they're saying. Here's what they're doing. Here's the path that they're on. Now just watch it play out. And there's kind of a mockery of foolishness in Proverbs, which is the exact opposite of what we get when we tune in to anything in our world. They mock righteousness, and they misrepresent righteousness. And when you misrepresent righteousness, that's like the worst fake news that you can do. But Proverbs is all about a father with creativity, with humor, with pithiness, with flair, trying to instill wisdom to his son and to his daughter. I've got to stop. Parents, there is so much work that's to be done. We have an extraordinarily urgent, and yes, it is a burdensome responsibility. But that doesn't mean it's impossible, and it doesn't mean there's not joy in doing it. But it's not impossible, and it's something like we need to get about the work of instilling the fear of God in these next generations. We need to learn the art of passing the baton. And if you're a young person, you need to be watching for that baton and lay hold of it. And thank God for the church. If your parents aren't passing a baton on to you, you can look to the Word. You can look to teachers, mentors, disciple makers, elders, leaders, and so forth in the church. There's an abundance of people who will be a spiritual father to you. But look for that baton if you're a young person. What you should teach your child will be the subject of the upcoming weeks. We went through a whole bunch of different areas last week and this week, and we said, hey, how well are these third parties passing on wisdom and knowledge and discretion and understanding? Well, we're going to talk about, like, what is the content? Proverbs is full of content. These are the things that we need to instill in regards to all these different areas of life that will bring health and healing and joy and prosperity and result in even everlasting life. So, like, we're going to get to a lot of really practical topics starting next week. Thank you for listening this morning. Let me say a prayer for us as we continue in worship. Dear Father, thank you so much that we have in our Bibles such a compelling and clear example of what it looks like for a family, for parents, for mothers, a father, to pass the baton onto the next generation and for that next generation to lay hold of that baton. Father, help us to just follow the example, follow in the footsteps of what we see here in these verses, in these passages. Give us success by your Spirit. Teach us how to teach. Teach us how to shepherd that heart. Help us assume that responsibility joyfully, wholeheartedly. Father, give us wisdom in reinforcing a fear of God, so that it's a constructive and not a destructive thing, an inspiring thing, a helpful thing. Give us creativity. Give us cleverness. Give us clarity in all things. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.